You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Yeah. It's my life, and sorry.
Welcome to Axe to Grind, the hardcore podcast. I'm Patrick.
I'm Bob.
And I'm Tom, and that was a melody.
Yeah, you like that, right?
I'm dude, a singer. Pat's tuning it up, man.
You know, in a moment of pure, raw, unadulterated vulnerability, Tom, one time Patrick looked at me, crouched like a bird in his computer chair in front of his desk in LA and said, "The secret is, I just love singing."
I do love singing.
It's fun. It's fun. It's true. I wish I could do it better, but it's fun.
I don't know how you haven't signed up for Cameo. So you probably should.
As it's a, funny, like, my girlfriend was just only singing, pressing me to do it. She was like, "Wait, you got offered?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "Why wouldn't you do it?" I said, "It feels like when you're not like a real celebrity, it's I think it's a little weird." And she's
there's
like,
a lot of non-celebrities on there, bro. You're more celebrity than a lot of people on there.
I said,
let me just say this:
what would be your price?
$50. $50.
Oh, no, no. I'd do it for 20. Just try to get a volume business.
20.
Yeah, just because it takes literally 3 minutes. Not, it's not like I'm doing any editing. You know what I mean? So it's like,
no. All right. So here's the Micro Machines guy. John something, I believe his name is. Looked him up. He's doing cameos. He's older. I don't think it's worth the money anymore, guys. He's lost his fastball. It's like
Really?
It's like you're paying for 36-year-old Nolan Ryan, but you're getting 44-year-old Nolan Ryan. Like, he can still hit you with an 85. You're not getting 93.
Okay,
you're
you
not
know
getting
what?
You know,
still there for the memories.
All right, Pat, here's some comps if you want to know how much you can charge.
Please.
There's a fellow named Kanye East.
Okay.
He's charging $25.
Okay.
Max Cavalera from Sepultura, $50.
Okay.
Mark McGrath. Mark McGrath had a couple of number one hits, $90.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Chris Caraba, a.k.a. Dashboard Confessional, $100. Mm-hmm. Peter Noon from Herman's Hermits. Okay. I mean, also had some hits, $50.
Yeah.
Or you can just say fuck it and either go, you can go either Steve Vai for $175.
That's a little.
Or Stephen Pearcy from Rat for $199.
Yeah, way too. I mean,
Puck from The Real World, he's temporarily unavailable, but you can send him a message for $3.
Okay. How much you think? All right. So Gary Holt, who is in Slayer and Exodus, $35.
Eric Neese, also from The Real World, $50.
These people have all spent more time on television than I have. You know what I mean? It's
right. So that's why I think you're right in like the 20 to 30 range. How much do you think Ted Nugent asks for?
I mean,
I
would hope he'd be over $50. I would hope he'd be 90.
Mm. How about 300?
Okay.
What do you think? You know what? Here's an idea. Kenny G, famous saxophonist. What do you think he charges for a cameo?
Jesus. I mean, he doesn't need the money at all. He might be in that 200 range.
350.
Holy shit.
Ted Danson.
But I think that's
– He's not on cameo.
But I think that's like – there's certain people that are like – it's almost when you hear those bands that ask for such an astronomical amount of money that you're just like, I'm going to ask for this.
Yeah.
If you'll pay for it, I'll do it. But I don't want to do it.
Yeah. I mean,
it's like fuck you money almost. Like, it's like, okay.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
I would buy one for Pat. I would buy one. I think maybe that's the new thing we do for Patreon.
is what is I address every single person.
Cameos? Yeah, maybe.
You do cameos for everybody on Patreon.
Everybody gets to pick which one of the three of us does a private cameo for them and on their topic. Wants
Pat. I mean, Pat's the famous one.
You know what I've started doing?
He is the famous one, but
I've started sending people meme flags on from AliExpress. So like if I have people's addresses, I don't have very many people's addresses, but if I have people's addresses, I'm just sending them random, like from the B movie. You know what I mean? Like they make these big flags on AliExpress and like, but they're worthless. You know what I mean? They'll be like the B movie guy in like a blurry image of him, like, or like,
how much do these cost? How much do they cost?
$7 Australia.
Okay, that's not bad. I was going to say like...
50 cents American?
That's 60 cents on the dollar, I think. So yeah, like,
so like $4.
Yeah, and they're like wall hangings. They're like very large. Here, I'm going to send you this link right now. Tell me if you would, if either of you guys would like me to mail this to your house for the few dollars.
I mean, the answer is yes.
Okay, well, I don't know if you'd want to hang this one, Tom.
I mean, unless it's like something that's going to get me fired.
Yeah,
well, it doesn't have to go on your front door. You know what I mean?
But I don't know if you want it in the back of your Zoom call.
That's what I'm saying.
I do think you should send that to Tom. He does want that.
Wow, probably not. It's okay. It is 35% off. Bibble, D's Nuts, Tapestry, Hippie, Wall Hanging, Funny Decoration.
Yep.
Where do you find this stuff?
Yo, I spend a lot of time on AliExpress looking for
the deep, the life is long and Patrick knows it. Thank you to our sponsors, Convulse Records.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you to our sponsors, Run for Cover Records.
Shrek.
Ants with a Z.
Thank you to our sponsors, To Live a Lie.
What's another one of these memes? Hold on, let me click through. Oh, giant tapestry of a Kanye West tweet that says, "In Jesus' name, no more cap."
And thank you to our sponsor, Closed Casket Activities.
1975 soft microfiber fabric travel towel. 1975 Gene Hackman thriller movie. night moves.
Thunder. Closed Casket Activities, closedcasketactivities.com. You know what? We're gonna finish with them because Closed Casket Activities is very, very busy. We're going to go first to tolivealie.com. Click on that web store. Major appreciation to them. They always have cool new things that I am curious about. The one I am looking at today is the Endorphins Lost cassette, Headsick, Pacific Northwest band, faster stuff, but like a mix. I listened to one song and was feeling this. Plenty hard enough, like blasting kind of hard shit. And I'm recommending this tape, Endorphins Lost, but more so go to the new products. That's always the coolest stuff, and To Live a Lie does a great job of keeping it. Oh, they have the Rabbit LP. Ooh, this is another one I really want. The Rabbit Halo of Flies LP. This is a Brooklyn band. If you haven't heard them, did I talk about Rabbit? I meant to.
I think they weren't they on one of your. I think I might have been on your list. So we definitely talked about it. They're playing Brooklyn on Friday with.
This is one of the bands I'm most curious and interested in seeing. I really like their 12-inch. Would with the name and bands they play with, it would make you think punk core, punk fast hardcore, but it's almost like what if a post, like what does fast punk hardcore sound like post metalcore?
Yeah, it's very noisy. It's like
got a lot going on. So wow, so pick up the Endorphins Lost tape and the Rabbit Halo Flies LP. They have the In Love. They have a bunch of the DGR records. Oh, there's a lot of cool stuff here. All right, so everybody go check that out. Tolivealie.com. Closed Casket Activities. closedcasketactivities.com. Guys, Justin has been busy.
So busy.
So busy.
Sneaking stuff out there. I'd like to talk about one.
Go for it.
This wasn't even planned, but I just know that it's up for a pre-order.
Do it.
Our buddies from Texas, Judiciary, just released a new single. The record is called Flesh and Blood. I love the fucking cover. It's the Scales of Justice and Fuego. pre-order comes out. It ships tentatively on March 7th. The new song is fucking great. The video is awesome.
I'm actually on time with something for a change. I listened to the single like an hour after it dropped, and it is fucking good.
And our friend sent us the video early on, and we were like, holy crap. It's like a great music video. Judiciary Rules. I'm glad that they're back and they came out. They're coming out a new record. I spoke to Austin. I was like, we have to have them back on, him and Jake.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And
make sure that Pat doesn't hit a fucking deer this time.
Yep.
Well, he avoided the deer.
Well, he avoided the deer. Just, you know what? Plow through him next time.
I can't.
It's vegan. It's cool.
I can't.
Do they even have deer in Australia?
They do not. You know what? I heard
wallabies.
I heard that they might have them on like farms, but
they're not indigenous.
They're not indigenous.
Yeah, true. So
they're like just kangaroos, like bouncing around, like in the middle of the road.
Yes,
everywhere.
Correct.
I see them every day of my life.
Do you ever try to square up with one?
No, but they are the Australians here. There's something wrong with them. Like little kids will go up and try to like be really close to them. They're fucking really
they're aggressive.
They're intimidating animals. Like,
and aren't they attracted to light? Is this the thing we talked about?
Well, I think they freeze in the same way that deer are supposed to freeze, but that's only half true with deer. I think it's fully true with kangaroos.
I think they're more confrontational about it. They're like, oh, you're going to flash a light on me? Let's go. Let's square up. I'm going
to run directly into your vehicle. You guys want to hear something crazy, though? Are you aware that their balls are in front of their penis?
Closedcasketactivities.com. We're still in the middle of the read. That Judiciary is weird.
Flesh and Blood.
Shout out to Judiciary Flesh and Blood. Their balls are not directly in front of their penises that we know of. Mm-hmm.
And if it is, it's cool too.
Yeah.
No, if it is, that's really cool. That's cool. Lead to some cool, wacky hijinks. 2 days before Closed Casket announced the Judiciary record, Closed Casket announced the Full of Hell Primitive Man collaboration LP, Suffocation Hallucination. So everybody should check that out. Okay. So both those records are available now. We knew about it last week, but I'm going to be real. Sometimes I like, because so much noise gets created when Closed Casket does stuff, I like to give the follow-up because there's a lot of cool stuff going on. Keep your eyes on Closed Casket. Follow them. Watch the label. Our number one original OG supporter. So shout out closedcasketactivities.com. Go order those records. Guys, how we doing? How we feeling?
I feel fantastic. I'm now a fellow that's done financially well enough that I spend a lot of time on heritage auctions. looking at original comic art that I can't afford.
But you're not doing that well. So you can afford.
He's doing well enough that he can look.
I can look. I've never looked before, Tom. It's a little different.
Oh yeah. Okay.
You know.
Good for you.
I spend a lot of time on that Japanese poster site and a lot of time on heritage.
You love
auctions.
That?
I do.
You buy anything? Or are you just a browser?
The Japanese poster site I've bought entirely too much because those are like $100 a piece.
They're super nice, but they're super expensive.
Yeah, but $100 is like kind of like my like okay, yeah, that's fun. Let's do that. But once you get to that like
110, you're out.
Yeah, 100%.
Right, like $99.99, sell it to me.
Yeah,
$101. Get the fuck out of here.
Not on my watch. Yeah. So
I made of money.
I've watched a lot of things that I wanted to purchase on the heritage auction site. However, in the last 5 hours or whatever, it shot up to unsustainable. So like yeah, exactly right. Like right now I'm looking at Al Jaffe, who people may know from Mad Magazine. When I say people, I'm talking about people that are 100 might know from Mad Magazine.
yep.
And, he's the one. Do you remember the fold ins? You would have to fold the paper to get the new image, right? So it's an it's an image that makes sense, but then when you fold it, it's the payoff of the, thing. So the original art for one of those is currently available from 83, and it's also a message that I really like. So I'm watching it right now. $21. I think it's going to shoot up to $300, and you know that's too rich for my blood.
Now here's my question for you.
No, I could do it if I wanted.
Do you have any original comic art that is important to you?
Do I have any original?
Do you have anything physical that's important to you?
Yeah. So the only things that I am really keen on as collectibles is I would like an office space that is, you know, visually just what I want it to be. Right. So, yes. The very few things that I have, like I have, for the comic book Concrete, that they made a, a resin statue in probably 1993 or whatever. And, I have one of those on my desk. I've got, some cell animation from a movie that's a little controversial. So I'll spare you, Tom, and not say it. and I've got,
Who are you really sparing?
I've got some posters that are originals and stuff, things that you just want to get framed and hang on a wall. But I made a promise to myself, sorry, this is bad information, everybody. I made a promise to myself that I'd stop buying wall art until I get everything framed. Right. Cause like it's framing is more expensive than some of this art.
90% of the time. And let me tell you this, as somebody who has had a lot of different framed art as well as poster times, et cetera. But when I was 19, 20, I worked at a screen printing shop that was across the hall from a framing place. Mm. So anything I wanted to get framed, $10.
Yep.
Wow.
Throw me a shirt.
That's cool.
So Tom, the Killing Time poster I gifted you, that was done there. Yeah, like
it's a
like
wonderful hang.
It's great, beautiful. And they did a great job with it. But then I moved to California. I have some cool pieces. I'm like, I want to get a couple more things framed. And it's like, oh yeah, that's going to be like $115. I was like, what?
Why is it so expensive?
Robbery? Huh?
Why is it so expensive?
Because
it's labor. It's they can all the parts of it are like here's the deal. You know how to cut glass? Me neither. You know. Like they custom do it. They have to, part of it's on the risk that they don't mess your thing up. Like I get it, but boy, it sucks. So, so anyways, the framed artwork is a dangerous game. Cause then you hit a point where like, wait a second. I don't even think I have room enough to put this nonsense up in my whole house.
Yeah.
So you end up like me who has like this incredible 1972 New York Knickerbockers poster framed in the garage. With nowhere to put it. What are we going to do with it? So anybody wants it, let me know. You pay shipping, I'll send it to you. Speaking of giving things away, before we get too deep in this, Tom, let's give some stuff away.
Yeah, that's what I like to hear. I'm the freebie man. I'm the freegan. Hold on. let me pull this up.
Patrick, when's the last time you heard someone seriously refer to themselves as a freegan to you?
Oh, it's probably been 10 years minimum.
Minimum, right? Right.
All right, so today, as you're listening to this, hopefully, it is Tuesday, January 24th, Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord. If you live in the, well, if you live in the Northeast or you want to travel to the Northeast on Saturday, January 28th, you have your choice of a pair of tickets to either of these shows. So your choices are 1 p.m., at St. Vitus. So thank you to St. Vitus and Dave Castillo for hooking us up with these giveaways. We'll have some more from them going forward. It's a lot of sold out shows coming up that we're going to get some hookups for that we're going to be able to share with people. So I'm psyched. So thank you to St. Vitus. So Saturday, January 28th, 1 p.m. in St. Vitus in Greenpoint, Brooklyn. You're going to have a pair of tickets to.
Uh-oh.
Did I just lose Tom in a critical moment?
We lost Pat. We lost Tom at the good part. He's going to come back with even more fervor. This is us, Jill's building up the suspense.
He's got the worst internet on the fucking North America. It's crazy. Man.
Did you catch, and shout out to our Patreon listeners, the last time we recorded, we did a pretty long Patreon episode that was one of my favorites. So go sign up. And multiple times through the podcast, we drop out, each of us. So that it's like two of the three of us are talking and the other one's just in the background going, hello?
Hello, yeah.
Can you hear me?
I tried to cut those, but I decided to leave that. That's
Yeah. You left those. You left two really good ones. So I think Tom's typing to us. Can you
hear me? Yeah, I'm back now. How much do you hear?
Nothing. We heard you dropped literally. Like, it was like magic. You were like, you said the date. So give the date, location again, and go for it.
All right, can we edit that? I'm sorry.
No, it's fine.
I was like, it's fun. I go, how do you want to do that, Bob? And I'm like, Bob, hello. Hello, Bob. Ground control to Major Bob.
I like that song. Hold on.
You hate that song?
No, I love it. I like that. Oh. I liked your version too.
Thank you. So you can have a set of tickets. I'm going to make this a little bit. I was very, talking a lot. So Saturday, January 28th, 1 p.m. at St. Vitus in lovely Greenpoint, Brooklyn. Means of Survival, Adrian. Moment of Truth, Age of Apocalypse, and Mind Force. You can have a set of tickets to that. Or you can have a set of pair of tickets to the 6 p.m. show at the same venue. You can go get some fucking slices down the block at Screamers. Go up to the show. You can go see Exhibition, Dead Last, Seat of Pain, Age of Apocalypse, and Mind Force. Both shows are like incredibly sold out. So you can have a pair of tickets to one of those. And we'll also have tickets going forward to some other sold out shows that St. Vitus is involved in. So thanks to St. Vitus. Thanks to Dave Castillo.
Here's how we're going to do this.
Yes.
You have to repost the Axe to Grind podcast episode and we'll post it. And maybe we'll post this and the ticket. You have to repost it on your Instagram story, whatever it is. Add us at Axe to Grind podcast and do something creative, whatever it is. Is it a cool little like animated thing? Is it a great song? Is it the Brock Beat It song? I love that track. Do something fun. Most creative one gets it. And Tom, I believe they get to choose, right? You said that? They get to choose.
Yeah, so it's a pair of tickets of to either of those shows.
So hell yeah. So we'll post it. The last tickets we did tied down went so fast. However, a bunch of people are trying to get in there. Get in because sometimes someone enters and then doesn't get back to us in like a few hours. I wait 24 hours and we've had it where we end up giving other tickets out. So get in, get your name in line, and then you'll be in the queue. And if we end up with a couple extras, we throw them at you too. So all it takes, Patrick, all it takes is
I thought there was a whole process there.
New York State Lottery. What's the New York State Lottery?
You got to be in it to win.
A dollar a dream.
All it takes is a dollar and a dream. So get in there. And in this, you don't even need a dollar, just a repost. So do that. Let's talk about some stuff.
Hardcore.
The internet was alive with hardcore this past week.
Yeah, there was a lot being discussed. A lot.
Some good, some less good.
Yeah.
Some interesting topics, a lot of weird things, but yeah.
Can I lead with my favorite?
Lead with your favorite.
This one might be controversial. Okay. Danny Diablo. Lord Ezek to the uninitiated.
Today, friend of the show.
Today I gave birth to a baby hawk. Seriously, respect my bird. Squawk, squawk, squawk.
I love it.
That's my favorite. Let's end it there. That's the best of.
Is he the best NYHC internet guy? He might be.
That's a great question. There was a person that went viral with a tweet about these Andrew Tate characters are toxic, but there is something to the fact that young men do need role models. Is there anybody? Can anybody suggest somebody that is a role model,
a good role model,
for young men that isn't kind of dealing in the same spaces as the Andrew Tate of the world? And I almost responded with, I think 2023 Ezek might be in the running. You know what I mean? Like, let's throw his name in the hat at least.
I mean, he likes hawks. He fucking, he's pro trans and he defends trans people. He broke up a fight at a show. I mean, broke up to a, which is my favorite part of the whole thing, is one of the people involved in it literally picked up the garbage can that they threw and picked up the garbage and put it back.
The putting it back part is good. That's the, like,
it's amazing.
Kind of true, it's amazing. True respect is like, let me just reset this to the way it should be here.
Yeah, right. Sorry about it. Was it here? Was it here? Was it right here? Yeah, it's pretty great.
Okay, so what else is going on in?
It's
been quiet.
Yeah, Tom's like, my timeline been silent, baby.
I don't know what you're talking about. There's been nothing on hardcore on the timeline for at least
sometimes.
10
sometimes, if you in a pro, like this is like proactive, like what's the other big acne thing? Accutane, right? This is the Accutane for the hardcore person's brain. Have at least one other serious interest. I would really recommend two. It could be fucking mugs. It could be movies, sports, rocks, coin collecting, travel, whatever it is. Have one or two other
tapestries from Japan.
Obscene flags to send to friends. Have one or two other major interest points that you can insert into whatever your social media consumption is, so that you can avert your eyes when necessary. Mm. Just because sometimes, and it's not like any one thing, there was an awful lot of hardcore coming at me this weekend. And you know what I really just did? I just like saw it. I saw my one good buddy who's big into like sports card collecting, and he had a lot to say this weekend, and I really appreciated it. I was like, oh, interesting. I didn't even know this. Oh, okay, cool. I followed it with a passion unknown in a long time. So that's the Accutane for the hardcore brain. Okay.
Wow, it's rhymes too. It's good.
Yeah. Right. Let's talk about this. Should hardcore be commercially viable?
Okay, I saw this one. It was the premise of our first episode for me.
Was the first episode for you? You're not on some of the other ones?
Like, yeah, no. I mean, it was what I put out in the world. I don't know how much you want to co-sign it or not.
Probably not.
Okay, so this was from our man Ace, who was responding to a alt press article about how hardcore is experiencing a rare moment of financial viability. Right, you could be a hardcore band and potentially make a life of some sort. I'm going to say of some sort because
you can pay rent.
Right, correct. So
you're not buying a fucking mansion. Let's everybody just
Everybody,
unless you're Drug Church, baby.
No, honestly, I don't
fucking
know.
Ivory Coast, whatever, Gold Coast, wherever you live.
I don't know if this would be fun.
A mansion in Cohoes, New York, and it's got his name on it.
Well,
that's it.
Let me say this. I don't think it would be that interesting to people, but maybe as a Patreon at the end of this year, I'll just be impossibly transparent about my financials, and we can just
bring your receipts.
Yeah, we can just
we're
talk.
We're finally about getting Patrick's tax records.
Yeah. I caved. I'm on the Trump.
Then all of a sudden you hear, "Hey, Murder Church, get over here." Yeah, exactly. You said you made how much?
The Southern District is chasing me, Tom. So
of New York.
Yeah. Like, yeah. No, I'm teasing. That's Trump. So,
I mean, you never know.
So here's the thing. If people were really – this was like – I don't know if people are still curious about this sort of stuff. When I was younger, this was a real topic where everybody was kind of pocket watching and curious what other people's financials were. I don't see that very much, but I might not be looking. But I – you know, I'm not – I have other jobs. I don't mind talking about any of this stuff. So I'll just lead with the here's a little tease. When we say financially viable,
12-month tease.
Here's a question for you fellas. If we counted Drug Church as a hardcore band, which I'm completely available to the idea that no, but if we counted Drug Church, where would you put us in the conversation?
I think
upper class, actually. You're in the upper class. not okay, in the top 1%, in the top 5%.
37% like tax bracket.
Okay. So as that person, let me assure all of our listeners that financial viability is not. You know what I mean? Financial viability is
well, no, but let's be realistic. I'm sorry to cut you off, Ben.
No, please.
But I think if you think you are like the 1%, because most people can't even like pay rent, and this is no slight on anybody that doesn't pay their rent off of it. But like you guys, like bands that can literally sustain themselves off of punk and hardcore, like that's a rare breed.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, that's fucking awesome. So like it is pretty rare, you know, like, you know, you like quote unquote, like sustainability and, you know, and viable and all that sort of stuff. But it's like, you might not be able to go out to a fucking $100 dinner every week, but your rent is paid. You can fucking put clothes on your back and you can fucking eat ramen. Like you're already doing better than 99% of bands.
Okay. So, yeah, I don't want to come in on some snob shit. I'm just saying that, I think that there's, I don't know if people ever define the terms when they're talking about this shit, right? So
I think we said it wrong because we said financially viable. I think commercially viable was the actual.
Oh, is that
quote.
Right? Okay, right. Okay.
Yes, so we should be clear too. Commercially viable is the term. Shout out to Ace. Shout out to Form Passion.
Passion. Yes, shout out. Yeah.
Form Passion from Chicago.
Yeah. From Chicago. So here's the problem. Number one. Sorry for anyone, because I'm sure there's somebody at Alternative Press that listens to this. Mm-hmm. Fucking Alternative Press.
Yeah. Right.
They have like fucking – look at like the goobers that have been on the cover of that magazine.
Yeah. It's also – I mean,
that's number one. Commercially viable, hardcore is always ahead of the fucking curve. Of course it's commercially viable. Like are you guys still there?
I'm here.
Yeah.
I just, all right, every once in a while, just grunt so I know I'm not yelling out into the void, like like the guy from broadcast.
God, would open it would be my so good if we just started grunting more on this podcast. Like,
but I think, you know, you think like everything that's cool hardcore did like 10 years ago. From the 80s on, who the fuck, nobody wore Doc Martens before the fucking punks and skins did. Then it became a thing. Who the fuck, like, you know, Ian MacKaye wore Vans. They weren't, you know, like fucking whoever was big in 1982 was like not wearing Vans.
Right.
And I think, of course, it's commercially viable. It always has been because it's always been the fucking coolest thing going. Hip hop and hardcore and punk are the only really like cool fucking sub kind of
subculture things.
Subculture. Sorry, I was blanking on the fucking name. Going. And I think, you know, whether or not it's financially viable is one thing, but I think commercially viable, it's like, yeah, hardcore kids, for the most part, look pretty fucking cool. And bands do too.
Yeah, look, I think that that's an interesting conversation in and of itself because
– yeah, we might need to – that might be a whole goddamn episode. Jesus.
Well, I mean, it's just this idea that, like, hardcore is, like – considered whack every few years and then cool again. And then, you know, it's all bullshit at the end of the day, right? Like, it's just all like this weird.
It's as cool or whack as anything else in the whole world.
Yeah, exactly.
In terms of like what cycles in and what people decide is cool or not. But I like hearing Tom's conversation about it because it's hard to argue the passion with which people have for hardcore, right? And that's got to count for something in that people make it their life. And so then the question is, are people comfortable with other people making it their life in a way that they are also financially dependent on it? And that's where I pull back on myself and go, yo, there's been a lot of people who've made money on a tour playing music that has no right on a radio station and doesn't have some built-in mega audience. And I don't begrudge that of them. You know, I actually, you know, respect. And it's kind of a hats off, you know, to those who came. Good luck the other way energy for people who want to get mad that a band they like ended up succeeding whether they aim to or not. And the other question that comes up from this is, does the aim matter?
I think it matters to a lot of our listeners and to a lot of
yeah.
I mean, you know, this is everybody changes their tune on this. Let's just be frank. A lot of people have no ambition of being a band, right? They think it's going to be like a fun summer thing. You know, I'm going to do a band with my buddies, and then for whatever reason, it takes off, and often the tune changes, and that's also okay. You know, that's part of a lot of people's journey in music is, yeah, we started as a joke band, and then people liked it, and then we're playing Ozfest. And it's like okay, well, you know, what? Nothing wrong with that. You know, look, like Ani DiFranco. Here's a dated reference. has a song Napoleon, right? And it's just about how everyone's a little Napoleon, which is that as soon as you get a little, you want to take more, right? And that's how almost everybody on earth is. Now there's different ways to do that. There's ways that are more and less embarrassing and more and less overt, but it's what I will say is that for myself, at least, it's fun to advance in things. It's always fun to do better than you did last time in whatever respect, you know? And sometimes that's how you're received. Oh, we received better on this record. Oh, that's cool. That's cool.
And I've had friends in bands who have had the experience of being the darling band who were, as you know, like that, that infallible cool that you can't even take shots at this band without somebody being like, oh, you're just a jealous hater. Like, clearly everyone loves this band and they're doing everything right. Who pivot and just kept saying like, well, we're just going to say yes to opportunities that don't feel lame to us. Because at the end of the day, it's the, you know, 4, 5, 6, whatever people in this van who matter. And if we don't see a reason to say no, why are we going to say no? Because someone who liked our band might think what we're doing is lame. Well, we don't. So let's give it a whirl. And that turned out to be a life altering decision for those folks. Just full stop. They ended up being able to, and I'm not talking about like, oh, they all went and bought mansions. No, they all went and did incredible things in their lives that they never expected their, you know, hardcore band would take them. So should hardcore be commercially viable? I think we might need to pull Ace in to have a real table on this, but
Shopify grows your business no matter how far or big you grow. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling your fans' next favorite shirt or an exclusive piece of podcast merch, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/income, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/income now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in.
I mean, don't you think it's always been? I'm sorry.
No. Well, to your question, do I think it's always been? No, I don't think it's always been, because I think there is a route, and I think about it this because one of the fellas who is on The Best Show, that podcast that I don't really listen to, but was a very nice guy and did the podcast that me and my buddy Pete do. Mike is a guy who's been around since the late 70s in like local New Jersey, and like saw the Ramones in the 70s, saw the birth of punk, saw a lot of early hardcore. And was like, yeah, you know what? I've always thought hardcore was lame. You know, he's like, it was too macho for me in 1980. Tom, this fella is your size, my size, and you know,
big dude.
Not like So, but he's just like, I never got the appeal of it. I always thought it was lame. Hmm. So I think there is an element of it that it isn't for everybody. But at the same time, in the same way that goth music, in the same way that spiky punk, in the same way that industrial, in the same way that death metal, these things that are, what's the kindest way to say something that's hard for someone to get into? But once you're in it, you can find this nuance and beauty. Like I say to people all the time, I don't know how much I'd like music if it wasn't for hardcore. Mm. Because before that, I just wanted to play like basketball and lacrosse and like play.
And you have to pick out what you like because it's a lot of crap. Yeah.
Right. And
I like, think that's big.
And I liked music generally and thought it was neat, but in a casual way. Then I got into hardcore.
I like Men at Work.
Right. Yeah. Like, oh, I bought Too Legit to Quit on cassette tape at Strawberry. Yeah, it was cool.
Single, whatever, man. Yeah,
right. But because of hardcore and having to find it and discover the parts of it that I found appealing and working through it, then I basically worked backwards into liking music. I think it's an interesting piece. I think it does hit these milestones. Like, if you ask me right now, is there a cooler musical act that's ever existed beyond the Bad Brains? I don't have an answer. I don't think so. You know? Despite some of their issues, they're cool. Look at the album cover.
I mean, the only people up there are the bands that are like all time, like,
correct,
will still be discussed 100 years from now, like the fucking Who or like Rolling Stones.
Right. And so that's the thought is that somewhat insular a little bit, but also like, so for when we talk about commercially viable means that it's a moneymaker. And we know for a fact that many of these bands have not made a dime. If the world was fair, if commercial viability was an even playing ground, the Bad Brains would be millionaires many times over. And we know just factually that's not what happened. That's just not how it shook out. Sure. And there's a certain level. I had a good friend who asked me this question, and it kind of fits here. So we'll divert for a second, then we can get back to this. But I thought it was interesting to get your guys' take. The Descendants, popular band from the 80s. Pretty seminal. Been doing shows for the past 10 years-ish. Do well. Like, we're not trying to count the dollars. But those fellas...
Yeah, they're not starving.
Those guys can just do The Descendants... and pay all their bills and live a very nice life.
Yes. Play 20 shows a year and all be making six figures.
Why didn't that happen for the Bad Brains?
I mean, there's the...
There's a number of reasons, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
Address the elephant first, yeah.
For black dudes.
Right. Maybe that plays a role.
I think... Some of their stances based on their religion didn't help. You know, a lot of homophobic stuff. That wasn't always great. And I think they got in their own way more than most bands. Because I think people did really kind of want to look out for them. Think about this. When they were first coming back, when they were fucking Soul Brains, because they didn't want to be Bad Brains or whatever the story was with that.
Yep.
This is when God of Love, I don't remember, 95 maybe?
Soul Brains might even be later, but there was God of Love was, they had the Bad Brains name then, but when they came back in 98 or 99, they were Soul Brains. And again, I have no idea.
Because they did that like Cro-Mags tour. No, I'm talking about they were on a Beastie Boys arena tour across the United States of America and like lasted like a day or two before like HR did something and it got kicked off the tour. Like the Beastie Boys.
Some self-sabotage. Yeah, the Beastie Boys, the biggest champions of the Bad Brains known to man.
Right. And I think the Descendants, I think, you know, you hear all the stories, they're like, yeah, like when they were first around, you know, they did fine. It wasn't anything big.
Sure.
They came, when I first saw them come back, so this is like 95 when Everything Sucks came out.
Yep.
They played like Coney Island High and like the Wetlands.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, 500 cap, 600 cap places. It wasn't like, what the fuck? They're playing arenas. They're bigger now than they had ever been.
That's true.
You know what I mean? I think, I mean, I always joke, like, not to fucking make it about myself. The one of the coolest shows I've ever gotten to play was fucking Skate and Surf in Asbury Park, New Jersey, like 10 blocks from where I lived for years. And the Descendants headline. We got to play with the fucking Descendants, and it was like one of the coolest things I've ever gotten to do. They headlined the last night. They played in front of a quarter of the crowd of people that were there.
Interesting.
That was 02 when that they came out with that record that was not well received, and then people kind of cooled Cool to Be You, maybe? No.
That's right. Yeah, it's something like that, yeah.
Must be pretty cool to be you. Yeah. No one gave a shit. Everybody left. But, like, then I saw him at, like, Roseland, sold out in front of, like, 4,000 people. But I think, like, those dudes, you know, always had other stuff going on, other irons in the fire. And I think, you know, them being able, like, look at All. Why is All not a tenth as big as the Descendants?
Yeah, that's true.
There's all records that are records. As good as any Descendants songs, any Descendants records, full stop.
I agree. And they aren't, you're totally right. So how, and Patrick, jump in here too. Do you have idea of, no. You laid out the table. Do you have any opinions on why the Bad Brains might not have gotten the same bounce back like a band like the Descendants did?
Because the Descendants played like kitschy, meme-y children's music, and the Bad Brains were an actual band. Yeah. I mean, I don't think there's any comparison.
And here's to talk about commercially viable.
Yeah, exactly.
Bad Brains. They also played an MTV fucking, sure. You know, Bad Brains in 87.
Totally.
They played like MTV, like, hey, yeah, what's going on? We're at the beach for fucking spring break. Here comes Bad Brains doing songs off of Quickness. I think it must have been 89. Man.
Yeah. So here's my thoughts on that is that there's a novelty to hardcore. There always is going to be. I mean, we see this with the Barstool retweets, right? It's novelty. Like everybody in the sound of my voice has been to a show where people are dancing and looking like fucking fools. We don't think anything of it. It's a cultural thing. But when Barstool sees it,
they're punching each other for fun.
Yeah. Right. So there's something kitschy and novelty and just cute for people that aren't like, it's like the way that my friends that don't listen to hardcore at all still all own a Cro-Mag shirt. Every single one that like is That's kind so of like, amazing. Kind of like reads like Mojo or Spin magazine. Like they all own Cro-Mag shirts because there's
Cro-Mags, Ramones.
Yeah,
a fishbone shirt and a Bad Brains Capitol shirt
and a pair of Converse. You know what I mean? And it's just that's a look for
subculture uniform, right?
That's a certain type of person, and it's a I mean, Descendants are a remarkable band. I'm shitting on them, but like they're a remarkable band, and part of what has kept them interesting to people for so long is that those songs are, for lack of a better word, they're kind of pop songs, and in a way that Bad Brains are not. You know what I mean? And I just don't. I don't even think that this is a fair comparison in some ways. Like the Ramones, the Ramones played fast, but those were just 50 songs sped up.
That's
right. Those are Darlene Love songs. Yeah,
totally right. And so the Bad Brains played uber fast. Played essentially fusion music of 8 different types. We're doing a really challenging thing to an average. Like, yes, they played the MTV Spring Break party. It was challenging to the audience.
I mean, some bands are just bands.
Yeah, right.
Well, but here's the thing. The part of the conversation I think I omitted, but was by all approximations, all conversations, you talk to someone who saw the Bad Brains in the 80s, and it was, if not a religious experience, that band was fucking awesome.
Yeah, like still the greatest thing they've ever seen 40 years later.
And so, somehow that got washed in, but that plays into the conversation about commercially viable because you said it exactly right. I think there's a few things that we didn't mention in this Descendants conversation. The Descendants records became canonical for a wave of bands 10 years later. Who would, you know, like, yo, the fact that Sublime does a Descendants cover on one of their albums, fucking matters. It's the reason half the kids I knew in the my high school knew the song Hope, just because it's like, oh yeah, Sublime covers that song. That band's cool. All of a sudden, that bumps them up a level. Not that bands didn't do Bad Brains covers, but it was the hard song, as opposed to Descendants being something you're like, could you see a Descendants song in a really easy to position, like, commercial? Absolutely. You know, it's a lot more accessible. And I say this is a like, those are two day one bands for me, you know? But that's sort of when we talk about commercially viable. Do I think the Bad Brains wanted to make music money on their music? Yes, I do. Do I think
just as much Descendants, if we're being honest?
I agree. Yes. I think for sure.
And Rico Casey, the guy from the Cars, when the Cars were like the biggest fucking thing going, doing their record.
That's right. So I think, and they had a lot of chances and it just didn't come together. And it's part of their story. And it's fascinating. It's weird. It's a really weird, weird thing. What were you going to say, Patrick? I might have stopped you.
I don't know. I just feel like these what becomes financially viable. Oh, what I was going to say, honestly, was a thing that would get me disbarred from hardcore, which is Bad Brains. When we talk about bringing in other influences, people can say, oh yeah, live, it was awesome. Or I got it immediately when I heard the record. It's still not for everybody. You know, 40 years later.
I mean, we talk about how there's sets of hardcore ears who hear it and are like, nah, this isn't for me.
Well, here's where I'm getting disbarred. Here's where I'm under investigation. I've talked about how Knocked Loose doesn't make sense to my ears, right?
Right.
Like,
right.
I respect it. I think it's good at what it is.
Yeah, like those dudes. Yeah.
But it's like one step past my understanding of hardcore, right?
Right.
But same. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not saying that, like, don't, like, this is where I get disbarred, is because somebody's going to be saying, like, oh, you think Knocked Loose is as good as Bad Brains? No, Bad Brains makes perfect sense to my ears and Knocked Loose doesn't. But what I'm saying is that this kind of amalgamation of influences that doesn't make sense to a lot of people's ears, but to a certain person, it's perfection. And if we think of Knocked Loose as being one of the biggest hardcore bands, or if you presented Knocked Loose to 99% of people on the planet of Earth, they would say, the fuck is this? And
please get your screaming music away from it.
Right.
But I mean, if you put like Pay to Come On, do you think people would be like, I get it?
No, that's exactly what I mean.
These are just alienating things by nature to a large degree. Whereas I think Descendants, you could play for my mother.
You could play for your mother and she might be like, ah, this guy's got a weird voice.
Yeah. But she would say, oh, it's cute punk music, right? Versus Bad Brains, where she'd say, I don't like the way that the guitars are always going. You know what I mean? So I think that same in a lot of respects is that it's a lot of influences that add up to something really special for the people that love it, and for an outsider it's only going to be a niche or it's going to be a kitschy thing, a novelty, like,
yeah.
Knocked Loose, there's going to be people wearing Knocked Loose shirts in the same way that my normie friends wear, Bad Brain shirts or whatever.
You're right. That's totally right.
And part of that is because the penetration is greater. Like, the Bad Brains penetration is about as good as you could ever hope for a proper hardcore band. Same thing with Knocked Loose. Knocked Loose, this is no disrespect to them. It's just that it's a challenging sound. Better than you would ever expect penetration to a normie audience. There's high schoolers that are straight up like, Knocked Loose rips, and
they're heavy and abrasive.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's correct.
And that might be one of a small handful of musical selections that they go for in that entire. Like, their music selection might be a lot less abrasive outside of that, but they've been able to move in.
Yeah. Like think
right. Like, Turnstile makes sense. Turnstile's got melody. Right. Kids like it. It's. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know people that are like, "Yo, my 4-year-old loves Turnstile." But like, go see Knocked Loose, it's like you're fucking all of your vital organs are vibrating.
Yes.
From it being like the fucking heaviest thing fucking ever created, But I think, you know, I think in terms of viability, I think no one goes in. It's only what you're presented with is really what happens. No one. Because if you're going into hardcore to be commercially viable, I got some news for you.
Yeah, there's better ways you can
do it. Good luck. Good luck.
You're just as likely to like make the NBA.
Yep.
Like you're one in a million chance. You know what I mean? Like there's more NBA players right now than there have been viable hardcore bands over the last 20 years.
Yes.
Think about it.
Yeah.
Bands, what is it? 15 times 30. Numbers. So it's like
there's 450. There's 450 NBA players. Yeah.
Right. So have there been 450 hardcore bands in the history of hardcore that have been commercially viable?
No.
There you go. There's the math. Good night. Thanks, everybody.
Here's I want to leave you guys on this.
That's a problem, though. But I mean, I don't like. No, all right. So okay. Turns the reason why we're talking about this. Can you hear me?
Yes,
of course. Yeah.
Sorry, I'm all amped up.
Please go.
We love it. We love it. Go in.
I think you know it. This all comes to fucking. It's a conversation because of Turnstile,
right?
Sure.
Because they're the biggest thing going. They're playing fucking arenas. Blah 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 blah. If you sat with those dudes in fucking 2009, when they started. It was like everyone's side gig.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Never in a billion years would you go, guess what, fellas, 2023, you're going to be playing Madison Square Garden main support for a reuniting Blink-182. They'd be like, get the fuck out of here. Like, I remember seeing them. They opened like they didn't open. They played one like the backtrack, Darker Half. Record release on Long Island. It's like Foundation, a bunch of bands. And I remember watching him and be like, oh man, this band's cool. Like that drummer's got he's a good front person. If you would have been like, yo, end up being like the headlining
time
band,
machine Tom comes in the door to Tom 2012 or whatever.
And right. If I would have went
wearing
up
wacky
like,
sunglasses and like, yo, Tom. It's me, Tom, from the future.
Right.
Check
like,
this out.
This band is going to be playing arenas. I'd be like, I wouldn't
and
say
and where's
no.
our flying car? Yeah. Like, what are we talking
right,
about,
right,
though?
Right. Like, I would never be like, fuck, no way. That's never going to happen because you never know. But I never would have, like, I wouldn't have put my fucking money on it. You know what I mean? And that's like that's no right. disrespect to them or to anybody. It's just kind of like, you know, it just like they got certain things presented to them by their own fucking hard work.
Oh, and
it just kind of compiled. And like, I mean, the same thing with Drug Church, same thing with fucking Fiddlehead, same thing. Like, you know, Knocked Loose toured forever.
That's right.
Until
by the time we talked to those folks, they had already been a band for years and years.
Right.
And
right. Like, Mind Force, maybe it wasn't Mind Force the whole time, but they were doing Living Laser and they were doing this band. They like, everyone put in the fucking work. But I mean, I don't think anyone got into it was like, yo, this is going to pay like my fucking mortgage.
Right.
Nobody.
No. So here's
a
question.
It happens to, and it's cool.
We should have Ace come on. Maybe we'll do a home and home to really dorm room this conversation at large. But I want to leave you guys with this as a way to tease it. Yes or no? And I know that's hard to ask, but yes or no? Hardcore shouldn't be commercially viable.
Here's my position on
just
this. Which
yes
is,
or no.
Wait,
just
yes
or no.
Okay. No. Yes. Yeah. It should or shouldn't be. What's the question?
Hardcore shouldn't be commercially viable.
Ah, fuck. It's a hard one. No. I'll say that okay. Yes. Yes.
Tom.
All right, so Aaron.
It's tough. I know. I'm here. I'll go next.
Because I have a split.
I know.
I have a split answer.
Patrick, it literally said yes, no, yes. It's
In 2023, tough. Yes, it is commercially viable. The hardcore that I grew up on was not.
But should
and
it
it's be? It's different. But should it be?
Hardcore
for what people are doing now? Yes.
Hardcore shouldn't be commercially viable. I say yes. It should not be commercially viable. But there's an awful lot of caveats that we can make beyond that. Hope to do that. Ace, hit us up. Let's go. Guys, can we get out of the quagmire of hardcore internet goings on? Because I have a fun little game for us.
Oh, all right.
I was able to fix it out, and this is a fun one. It is called Members Only. Mm. All right. So here's how it's going to work. I am going to, it's going to be a lineup from a band. We're doing a lineup off of a recording because that's the only way I can like confirm it, you know, is how it was listed. I'm going to start by naming band members. Let's do this as a practice. Ready? So I'll say Eric, Andrew, Hans.
Okay.
Sean Duty. Family. That's right. There we go. And right.
End of a year.
Yeah, there we go. So we'll do it. We'll do it. You call out when you think you have it.
Okay.
Now here's how it's gonna work.
Are we scoring this or is it just for fun?
We're scoring it.
Brutal.
We're scoring it.
Yeah, this is gonna be bad.
Here you go. Two things to know. One, you start with 5 points. Each correct answer is worth 3 points. Oh God, what? You can buy hints. There are 3 hints for each one. So you can spend your points.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Here's the other thing. I did it by region, so it's going to help you out there too. Okay. So there are only two regions that we can work with for this version of the game. We're doing the Northeast Corridor, which is DC to Boston. Well, Northeast, you know, it includes other stuff, but the Northeast, and then the Midwest and Texas. So you get to pick the region, and then I'll start. The goal will be whoever gets to 21 first, 21, a great gambling number, etc. You start with 5 points. So you really only need to get 6 or so right. But you will spend points. So if you spend a point to get a hint, if you spend a point to get a hint, you can go, I want a hint. You'll spend a point, you'll get a hint. And then if you get it right, you get 2 points. If you don't, you lose a point from your bag, whatever you got. Okay? This right. is called
now, members
only.
Are we going back and forth? Or are we just like ringing
in like
a
shepherd?
That's fair to ring in like Jeopardy because
yeah, it's going to ring in. You're going to start. You get first decision. Like control of the board goes to whoever gets the right answer. But it is ring in. Okay,
right. So it's not like because then Pat could be like, you gave me fucking
no. But if
straight ahead,
whoever
straight ahead, whatever.
Here's how it works. If you say I want a hint, you get the hint and a clear shot at it. You know what I mean?
First, and then it's like up to
then it goes to the other person too. So
got it.
All right, are you guys ready to give this a whirl?
Not at all. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's do it. You guys will do fine. Tom, you get the first one. Do you want to do Northeast Corridor or the Midwest and Texas?
Oh, I'm going Northeast Corridor, baby.
Okay. Let's get us started. It is first names only, by the way.
I would hope so, yeah.
Anthony. Dawn.
Breakdown, 87.
You got it. Great job, Tom. +3.
Now,
Patrick.
Tom, did you wait after Anthony? Because you.
I mean, because New York, everybody has
100 Anthonys.
Yeah, but
I literally could have named every band from Astoria, Queens, and been right.
But I thought with Anthony, there was one that I was like.
I thought Killing Time.
That's what I thought too.
He was in both.
But then Don, I was like.
That's the only reason I waited.
That's right. Yeah,
Don, guitar player on Breakdown, 87.
Now, here's what I will tell you so you can be clued in.
That sucks. That was one of the few ones that I stood a chance of getting. Go on.
Well, if you had said, I want a hint. There's 3 hints each one. The hint on that one, the first hint is 80s demo.
Yeah, okay.
So that tells you the time frame right. and then what it is.
Deal.
So, right, you could have gotten confused there. So, all right. So, Tom, you did +3. Do we want to do winner's ball or loser's ball?
I mean, I want to do winner's ball because I won, but...
Patrick, do you want to do your next pick? Do you want to do Northeast Corridor or Midwest and Texas?
I would probably do Northeast anyway. So,
all right, let's do Northeast again. All right. Mark. John.
Super Touch.
The Apostles.
No. Steve. Jack.
Slapshot.
Yeah, Slapshot.
Good job. Guys, use those hints. Tom is currently up 11-5. All right. Where do you want to go?
I'm so confused. How does Pat even have five?
You start with five points. Start with 5 points. So if you want to spend money on hints, you can. Yeah, it's in the bank.
I thought you meant like you start with five and like as I owe.
No, you start with five and then you have 11. So if you use a hint point, you only go down to 10. You know what I mean? So
got it. All right. I'm all confused. All right.
Tom, you get to pick next. Northeast or Midwest and Texas?
I mean, can you still hear me?
Uh-oh. Did we lose Tom?
It's my time to shine.
Oh, bye, shit.
Tom. Bye, Tom.
Uh-oh.
Go on. My time to shine. Let's do it.
All right. Where do you want to go, Patrick?
I'll go Midwest.
I'm going to go very slowly, so hopefully Tom can connect. This is his penance, huh? You're going to make him pay. All right. Kevin.
I'm going to sue Spectrum Cable.
Tom, did you hear or did you miss?
I missed the whole fucking thing.
We're in the Midwest. Patrick has not scored any more points.
I was supposed to be able to pick.
Yeah, you got skipped. You'll do next two then.
This is horseshit. Okay.
We're in the Midwest in Texas. Kevin. Cole.
What?
I'll take a hint.
Brian. Isaac.
Okay. Oh, it's Knocked Loose.
Knocked Loose, yeah.
Right. Tom gets it.
Three. Boom. 14. Boom. I need three more.
Patrick.
I was like, who? I'm thinking, because it's Bob, I'm thinking, all right, who in the big boys is going to be named Cole in 1981?
No, that's right. But remember, I'm going to mix it up. I'm trying to do different time frames.
No, I appreciate that. But I think it's Texas. Yeah. I think of like the 2005 class and on.
That's right. That's right.
The RI class.
That's right. Yes. I mixed it up, though.
I appreciate that.
Still tried to keep it so there's at least one or two names that are going to be like, oh, duh. Right. You know?
Well, those are the ones I'm relying on because I don't – Yeah. I mean, every band's got a fucking mic. Right.
Let's stay in Texas.
All right. The Midwest in Texas.
Midwest in Texas.
Yeah. All right. Chris. God damn it. Bob.
What?
Frank.
What? Stop this.
James.
That's a hint.
All right. Patrick's using a hint. 90s, their first album. And these guys use nicknames.
Fuck. What? Give me the names.
You get a clean one. Yeah, you get a clean one here. 90s, and it's their first album is this lineup. Chris, Bob, Frank, and James. Midwest and Texas.
They use nicknames. From the 90s. Fuck. Nicknames. I do not know.
All right, Tom.
I got nothing.
Do you want another hint, Patrick?
Yeah, why
or
not?
Tom. I'm spending these. Okay. Cleveland.
Integrity.
Chris. No, wait, wait.
Oh, fuck.
Patrick.
Yeah. So, the fucking human furnace. I'd never do good when I'm under pressure. What's the fucking band name?
You got it. Human Furnace.
Yeah.
Can I go?
No, you can't.
How long does he get?
He was supposed to get a clean one because he did pay for the hint. Yes,
I get one more second to remember a band that I've fucking seen twice.
You only seen them twice? They came to Albany every other weekend.
Yeah, I know. They would play this show.
You like the band name. The thing is, he likes the band who's named after this album.
Yes. I kind of do, yeah. Ringworm.
Thank you. There we go. Does hardcore in general talk about Ringworm, The Promise, enough?
No.
No.
It had a moment where it really got talked about, yep. But I'm not sure that it does anymore.
No, and it's for people at home, we've talked about this, and we've blamed the Youngs for pumping a lot of stuff, good and bad. But like, sure. This happens. This is just like somebody will talk about something incessantly, and then it'll become a thing. And the Syracuse dudes talked up, and some of the New York dudes talked up the Ringworm record, The Promise. And yeah, it became a conversation for like, you know, 2 years, 3 years again, sure, after it had kind of not been a conversation for a long time.
So that one was an especially tough one because
they all have nicknames.
Chris is Chris Ringworm. Bob, I think, is a different nickname. Three Gun is Frank. And
that's why I thought Integrity. Like, and I was like, I forgot Dwid's name.
I know. Yeah. Different. You're correct. All right, Tom, you get to go again to set the boat straight. Where would you like to go?
Can I get a score here? 14 to...
It's 14 to 6.
All right. I'm going northeast.
So Patrick spent 2 points on his hint, but he got it. So
northeast.
What was that?
Northeast, please.
Northeast. All right, northeast. Chris, John, Sean, Bubba.
We're back in the northeast?
Yep.
In the corridor.
Northeast corridor. Chris, Sean, John, Sean, Bubba.
Give me a hint.
From the 80s, lineup is from their split.
Fuck.
He's got a clean one here.
Oh, well, I mean,
Tom's going to steal it if you don't get this, Patrick.
It feels like Bubba should be clear enough to me.
It should be. Oh, man. Someone's breaking their car radio right now.
Yeah.
Can I answer?
Yeah, you can.
Void.
Correct. Bubba Dupree.
Yep. It's funny because I was thinking Northeast Corridor, that's very intentional. It's got to be Baltimore or D.C. And I was like, what is it?
And the only thing that got me was the split.
Split's confirmed. Bubba Dupree. If somebody's a fan of Void, they probably know that fella. So, and Columbia, Maryland was the second hint because Void is, kind of popularly known as Discord band, but not totally like DC Discord band, you know? So, all right, Patrick, it's your choice. Midwest and Texas or the Northeast Corridor? Where are we going?
I don't know any of these. Let's go Midwest.
All right. All right, Santiago, Dave, Steve.
That's it, huh?
Santiago, Dave, Steve. Somebody want to buy a hint?
Yeah, I'll take a hint.
Feels like a Chicago.
All right, Tom. 80s, this lineup's from their second album.
Give me another one.
Chicago.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to hope it's Steve Albini and say Big Black.
It is Big Black. Good job, Tom.
Santiago Chile threw me off.
Big Black is on my list. He also goes by a fake name on the Songs About Fucking LP. which was their last record. He goes by the fake name of a famous entertainment lawyer because he was going, they were breaking up and stopping making music mostly because he was going to law school. So they thought it was like a good farce.
Pretty funny.
Big Black, Atomizer is on my list of records to sit with in the near future. So that's why I was,
I feel like I'd like a Steve Albini record more now in this age than I did. I remember it being like, dude, Shellac, Big Black. And I listen, I don't get it.
Yeah. I wonder about Shellac. Like, I think there's a couple things I would appreciate now more in the Shellac catalog.
Yeah. You would.
Yeah.
It's all good. I say this as like the most intense Albini hater. It's weird. I was out for a bike ride the other day and my thought was, I hate Steve Albini. That was like what I was, bike rides are meditative places. And you're like, and my thought for like half my bike ride was, I'd like to make a big banner for a bunch of my shows that just has Steve Albini calling AOC a generational political talent, which he did. I'm curious now if you would stand by that now that she's like kind of revealing herself to be more and more corporate. But I just thought it was, he probably would. He's a fucking boomer. But I was just sitting around thinking, fuck, what an idiot Steve Albini is. But his music still stands up. It's really quite good. I'll take Big Black over Shellac, but Shellac is great guitar music.
All right, Patrick, I believe you brought us to the Midwest. It is currently 18-6.
Yes, I'm not feeling great.
It's okay. Tom,
can I say
the board is yours?
Yes.
Of course.
No, I'm going to, once I win, I have a comment.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to stay Northeast.
Your choice. You're staying in the Northeast. All right. Josh, Mike, Sandy, Jonah,
the fuck?
Damien.
Okay, I got it. Fucked up, yeah.
Go, say it.
Fucked up.
Good job. Right, have you been really waiting to say
in the Northeast corridor? The train doesn't go there.
I was gonna do Atlantic Division, but also the Atlantic is tough there, you know.
I'm playing this on the protest because that is definitely not Northeast Corridor.
You're still are doubled up on them right now.
Northeast Corridor. When you go Northeast Hardcore, you don't go fucked up. No, but it's the last.
But it technically part of the East Coast megapolis. So
that's right.
Northeast Corridor. I almost
did megalopolis.
Amtrak train. It Amtrak's does not over. Go to fucking Mississauga or wherever the fuck.
Northeast Corridor is actually, I actually had the exact, this is why you can tell we're too geography focused, because I, in my head, reviewed this and was going to call it the megalopolis. Even that, Toronto, it's a little hard. But there's another one in this Northeast category that is outside of those bounds. So just, there's one other. So good, keep that in mind.
All right.
Patrick, your board. Where are we going?
Pat, collusion. That's your side's favorite term. It's fucking collusion.
California.
Well, we don't have California. It's Midwest California, Texas. The Pacific Division. I didn't get enough time in the Pacific. I have one listed in the Pacific Division. Do you want to do that Midwest. One?
Why don't we do that? Although Tom we'll is do really the one. Good.
Let's see here.
So fucking good.
Ready? This is the Pacific Division.
Yes.
Okay. Paul.
Oh, Sinking Ships.
No.
Fuck.
Billy.
Sinking Ships.
Todd.
Betrayed.
Is Yannick.
Oh, is this is the tragedy?
Yep. For the win. Tom nails it. Good job, buddy.
Yannick was the one that threw, because I was like, Paul.
Of course.
And I'm like, Paul.
If you guys haven't noticed, I've been doing it by scale. Yeah. I've been trying to, like, the most identifiable.
A lot of work.
Like fucked up, I should have got at Jonah, because that's like a, like, very, like, oh, yeah, I know who that man
is. Well, I thought Sandy would have been a decent, like, you know, starting what? Point, like a deep.
But I feel like that could be, like, a DC guy that was in, like, fucking Ignition.
True. Very yeah. true. Very true.
But Jonah, I was like, my head went to the Jonah that was in Far and all that, and I was like, no, he's not from there. Yeah. I thought I should have gotten it before then. Weirdly, Anthony was the one that I was most.
The
most common name for Italians, and I was like, I
got to be honest. When I made this game, I was like, there's another one on here that I was like, I was literally listening to you, Tom, get the answer that we didn't hit. So let's try it. I'm going to give you the hint because it's a pretty tough one. It's a 90s band. This is their first album. Jesse, Matt, Joe, Scott.
Buried Alive?
Yes.
Fuck.
I was like, yo, Tom's going to get this one.
I was like just, I was thinking Overcast? I don't know.
The two Scots was the only reason I knew. I was like, Tom's going to at least be familiar enough to know, oh, there's two Scots in that band. So that was cool.
And when you did Jonah, I was thinking, I'm like, if he says Craig, I'm thinking it's Only Living Witness.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there's like five Jonas that everybody knows. And but I would just make the point out. The thing that I wanted to say.
Yes.
This was a game that it was impossible to have any kind of cheating system or anything.
Yeah.
Our friend and listener of the pod in July, our friend Amy, said that I always win the games because I cheat.
What?
At the live show.
I like that. I like that.
At the live show, she was like, because you're a cheater. And I was like, that hurt my heart.
Whoa.
Hey, listen, that sounds like that sounds like cope, but it's cope that I'll sign on for.
I was not aware of that. No, I made this game up about an hour before the podcast. It seems very difficult to cheat on. and we're going to play it again at some point when I can do the whole thing, and maybe we'll have a guest on to do it because we should have a few other people. So, Tom, you're back on a winning streak. You have only lost once to Patrick. But, you know, you almost won that time too, so... He signed off on us. It died again.
All right.
All right. Let's see. Would you have gotten this one?
Catch these fucking hands, man. How much of that did you get?
You are on the cricket wireless of fucking.
Yo, seriously, man. What am I like on a tin can?
I know.
Yo, if I have, I think I might have to move. I'm going to deliver, bring back my modem and drop them off some hands because this fucking Spectrum wireless sucks all the worst things in the world.
Yeah, you can.
But I would just like to point out, I don't know how far I got, but our friend Amy from California, we were doing the live show.
Oh, we heard. She
accused me. Nah, you heard
she
me.
She accused you of cheating. Yeah, we did hear that part. Yeah.
You heard Tom Sheehan, of all things, is not a cheater.
Yes. Well, listen.
I'm fast on the fucking uptake. And I'm kind of smart and I love hardcore. So, it all works in my favor.
I like her theory, though. I think it deserves more exploration.
Of course it does when you get your fucking ass handed to you every time.
I'm putting together a committee. We might find some truth. We're just going to explore things. You know what I mean?
Sure, please feel free.
I don't have a conclusive thing going into it.
It's going to be Eric, Evan. Who else? Who else you got?
Yeah, Tom, it's one of those situations where it's like an 85% false, but like maybe there's 15% truth for Patrick to find. You know what I mean? Yeah.
I mean, I don't have to cheat. I just like hardcore and I read stuff.
Shout out, everybody. Have a good night.